The other day, I was noticing some pretty outrageous claims about facial creams that promise to take years off your face. That same day, in the same store as it happened, I walked past the card section and saw a birthday card with a wisecracking joke that I have to admit made me chuckle just a little bit. But as I groaned a little getting into my truck in the parking lot, taking note of how it didn't seem to be getting any easier getting in and out these days, it wasn't so funny anymore. In fact, I wondered if I was a little bit, too quick to accept the idea that there's something normal or natural about the passage of time and its supposed effects. Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. You know, there's so many claims out there about what it's supposed to mean to have traveled around the sun a few revolutions. Everything from the importance of aging gracefully, you've heard about that, to letting go of activities and everyday joys to accommodate the so-called limitations of age. Really? Says who? Well, certainly not Beth Packer, that's for sure. She's in the public healing practice of Christian Science. She's a Christian Science practitioner from Bomaderry, New South Wales, Australia. Beth, thanks so much for joining us again on Sentinel Watch.
Hello, David. It's lovely to be with you.
Lovely to have you on the program. Where do you think this comes from? You know, there's an expectation that we have to kind of dial it back as we get older. It's just the thing to do. I mentioned aging gracefully almost as if that's a virtue.
Yeah, I hate it. I don't age gracefully. Do you, David?
What, me age? I don't know what you're talking about. But I love how we're talking about things here in a very plain-spoken way. Yeah. And I think that that's important to do here, especially on Sentinel Watch, where we can just come out and say what we mean. And by this, I think a lot of us have felt like there is this kind of expectation that as we get older, maybe we get less mindful, maybe we get more forgetful, and that there's something kind of natural about that. And I realized how much I sort of have bought into that without, you know, sort of consciously buying into it, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do, because the world just presents it as though it's something that you have to sort of subliminally accept. And I've been thinking about it a lot lately, particularly this thing about memory. You know, I just can't accept that. I can't accept loss of memory, because if I have these suggestions come to me, what I say to myself is, for this to be true, Beth, what do you have to accept as real? The thought of memory loss, of me forgetting something, or just not being able to remember as clearly anymore, for that to be true, what do I have to accept as real? I'm getting down to the underlying lie that I would have to accept. Because the only way that I could forget something, or for my memory to deteriorate, the only way that could be true is if I have a mind separate from God, the one mind. That is the only way that could be happening. So that's what I would have to accept. And I won't. I won't accept that. And so now, it's just alerted me, and it's been an alert that's been growing in my thought for quite some time. So instead of the growing thought that I could lose my memory, it's been the growing thought that I can't lose my memory, because God is the all-knowing mind. God knows everything. Is there ever an idea, a truth that God does not know? Is there anything that could be lost in the divine mind that fills all space and holds all things in their right place? To me, it's like saying four could not be in its right place and the principle of mathematics could not find it.
Right. But Beth, I want to ask you before we get too far down the road on this, because you're saying, okay, well, it's so important to know that God isn't deficient in any way when it comes to these properties of mind. God is mind, as Mary Baker Eddy writes in her textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Mary Baker Eddy is the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. It's one of the synonyms she uses. Yeah. God is mine. But what does that mean for you and me? Because, yeah, of course, especially if I'm feeling like, oh, gee, it's a little hard to get into the truck.
Yeah.
Or it's a, or, you know, maybe I'm becoming a little forgetful and that's concerning.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that mean that God is mine relative to what I'm living every day?
What I've come to recognize is that every right thought that we have, mm-hmm, every right motive, every intelligence, every bit of happiness, joy, every bit of spirituality, every right thought that we're conscious of is God, not ourselves. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the first thing he didn't do was look into the basket and count the loaves and the fishes.
Right.
That limited thought, that's the view of the disciples. Instead, he looked up, he looked away from that, he looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks. So he's looking to an entirely different source for his good, an absolutely unlimited source. You look in that basket and everything is limited, and there's no possibility of you meeting that need, but that is not his method. And Jesus is our way shower. He was showing us a different source of good, a different source of life.
So let's apply this practically today. Rather than looking in the basket, which is to say perhaps looking up our birthdays, or perhaps counting the numbers of times we've gone around the sun, we turn to God as the mind and lean into that as completely sufficient.
I think it's more our unity with that.
Say more about that. What do you mean?
If the good that we are conscious of, if the good that is us, you know, our kindness, our desire to do good, our principle, even just making the bed and, you know, doing all the disciplined things throughout the day, mm-hmm, our spirituality, our desire to learn, that is our at-one-ment with God.
Our very being.
That is our, perfectly put, that is our very being. That is who we are. That is us reflecting God. One of the things that's been coming to me a lot lately is it's not about God transmitting something to us. So God knows, so we go off and know stuff, or God does, so we go off and do stuff. That's transmission. Right. That's not reflection. The original does, and we reflect what the original does or is.
So funny you should mention this, because it's not like the heave-ho, we got to do this heavy lifting so that we can see how God sees us.
Yeah.
It's that in every moment, to the extent that we can, this is so interesting. I guess this is why Mary Baker Eddy talks so much about that sense of who you are as God's image and reflection. Not that you have to, you know, to intellectualize over this or come to some kind of combination of thoughts so that you can get there.
Good.
It's this embrace of all good, including that permanent presence, mental presence of God.
Yep. That's putting it perfectly. One of the things that makes me a bit sad is when people say, I can't hear God, I don't feel close to God. Or they'll say to me, oh, you hear God all the time, because I'm always saying, oh, God told me something. There's something that I do, and I actually talked about this recently in a daily lift, and it's whenever I have to do anything. But, you know, at one stage we had a very large garden, big garden on top of a mountain, and I was a gardener, and I have to do all sorts of heavy tasks. But every time I started, and I just would say, can God do this? Now, it wasn't, can God do this, so therefore he will empower me to do it. It was just that absolute oneness with God. Can God do this? Yes. And it would be done. Because I was the reflection of God doing it. Could God do this? Yes, God did do it. It wasn't me. the absolute core, the starting point Mrs. Eddy gives us, it's the first sentence, isn't it, in the first chapter in prayer. The prayer that reforms the sinner and heals the sick is an absolute faith that all things are possible to God, a spiritual understanding of him, an unselfed love. Now, that is not unselfish or selfless. It is having no sense of self. She often talks about self-immolation, which is, you know, burning up of self, a sense of sacrifice, of us having a separate self to God. If God is life, if God is mind, God is intelligence, that's the life and the mind and intelligence we're at one with, we're a part of. So I found now if I lose something or I can't remember anything, the first thing I stop doing is I stop trying to remember it. I stop it. I stop the human efforts. I stop looking in that limited basket for answers. And I go, okay, God knows where this is. Now, Christian scientists all around the world do this. Whenever they lose everything, oh, it's with God. They know where it is. But what they're doing is turning away from a material limited source to this unlimited spiritual source that knows all things, where nothing can ever be lost. So immediately I stop, really disciplinedly. I it'll come to me. Just Google it, Beth. You'll find the answer. No. No. Don't do that, Beth. Don't do that. But you stick to the better, quicker. So God is so much better than Google. Within 5 minutes, I will find whatever I've lost, even if it's so obscure, or I remember whatever I needed to remember. Absolutely, I am so confident of it now that there's never a time when it doesn't happen. The other day, I was sending a text to a friend who'd lost a relative, and I wanted to include his sister in it. And I had one of those little mental blank outs where I couldn't remember her name. And I just said, I'm sorry, God, to ask, but I need to know this immediately, because he needed the response immediately. And God just said, it's Linda, Beth.
And I just love said, this.
I just said, thank you very much, and press send.
Really, that's so. It sounds like you have this all the time. You just go to the real source there. You don't mess around with.
I practice all the time, David. I practice at getting the Beth out of the way.
You talked about immolation a few minutes ago, and it struck me too. And I realize, in a way, how much Christian Science and the study of Christian Science sort of shakes you sometimes to your core, to sort of wake you up almost, you know. But one of the things that I think it can be so difficult, at least for me, is that as the years go on, sometimes I feel like, even if I'm not counting the months and days and the passage of time, in a way, everything that I am today, sometimes I think of as the sum of everything that I have done until now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That in other words, my story is, born here, did this, went on to do that, got married to, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And that, in a way, what can sometimes seem to be the toughest thing about dealing with this issue of age is letting go of all that you sort of think of as, you know, the definitions of who you are. Well, in a way, you're sort of being called to see yourself as who you really are.
Yep.
I think, in a sense, that's what Christian Science is in, and what Mary Baker Eddy and for that matter, Christ Jesus is calling on us to do.
And it's such a lovely thing to do. You know, that it just says you're not this flawed, fallen mortal trying to get back to God, that we are there now. I mean, the flawed, fallen mortal on a journey, that's Adam and Eve. The only way Eve could have picked that apple, disobeyed God, heard another voice, and then, you know, the whole scenario of being cursed and journeying started, the only way was if she had a mind other than God. And I think that we're getting back to the original sin, or the original error, the original mistake. And it is this, that is a storyline of separation, that we're separated from God. And then we're on this journey, and sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. And sometimes, you know, there's other opinions and options to life. But, you know, an image and likeness has no option. An image and likeness doesn't have a choice. An image and likeness must be scientifically, Christianly, every way must be like its original. And so it actually comes down to a choice, not so much of who do we think we are, but what is God? Father, mother, as we have in Mrs. Eddy's interpretation of our Father, which art in heaven, Father, Mother, God, all harmonious. Father, Mother means entire source. No other input, no other genealogy, no other ancestry, no other chemistry, heredity. God, divine love, divine mind, as our entire source of being. And that, I think, is our daily choice. You know, when you talk about, David, we look back at our history and our storyline, there is a truth to it. You know, we were always alive as such. We were living every moment. But Mrs. Eddy talks about personality a lot. She says it's more important to understand there is no personality than to understand there is no disease. And that's quite an astonishing statement. But when we look back at all the things, you know, like we all goofed up and did stupid things when we were teenagers and stuff, and we wouldn't do it now. And it's not that we grew out of that, it's that we dropped off the things that were not true about us.
They just fell away.
Because they were never us. Our core identity has been the same. It's been the same all along. It is this image and likeness. Human history might say it's this journey, but it's not. It's a dropping away of falsehoods. That is what growth is. Growth is a spiritual thing. It's just the falling away of that which was never us.
And it's so funny, isn't it, that we often think of growth as the accumulation of things when it's quite the opposite.
It's quite the opposite, yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite the opposite.
Beth, you know, I'm thinking of listeners who may be wondering, well, okay, these are some wonderful ideas. But I'm wondering if you could share, say, in a situation or an incident or an experience, healing that you've had, perhaps, of this claim that, you know, getting older means what? Getting more forgetful or perhaps... having to deal with limitation, because I think there are a lot of people listening who feel like as the years go by, it's just getting harder. You know what I mean?
I just don't accept it. I just, every day I wake up and when I'm brushing my teeth, I just say, every day I am renewed. I think if we take it day by day, then it's not being allowed to accrue. And that to me is the absolute idea that we have. Every day is fresh. Every day God renews us. His promises to us are fresh. Every day has a new mission. Every day has a new purpose. Our days are ordered, not disordered. They're not happenstance. When Mrs. Eddy says, never record ages. Now, she doesn't say it's a good idea. Never is a really unequivocal statement. Never record ages. She says, chronological data are no part of the vast forever. Timetables of birth and death are so many conspiracies against manhood and womanhood. I'm just always recognizing an order to life, that it is a daily progression. We are seeing more and more of the truth. We are disbelieving more and more of that which is untrue. But it is seeing throughout our experience, even our body, that there is an order to it. And I remember once getting a pain in my body. Mm. And the moment I do, when I get a pain, I say, this is a thought coming to me, not a thing happening to me. And I'm going to repeat that because I love that. This is a thought coming to me, not a thing happening to me. So it's mortal mind or human thinking saying to me, down there, round there, over there, there's something wrong. And getting to the underlying lie, there is a place where God is not, a place where truth is not true, a place where error is more dominant than truth has replaced it, a place where God is not loving me. And that is what I reject. I never give it a name. I never give it a cause. I never give it a future. I never give it a condition. Oh, this is just a cold or this is COVID. I never give it any detail. I know it for what it is. It's a lie. It's a lie about God. God would never let this be true. Would never let it be true. Would never let it be real. God loves me. There is no place where harmony is not the only function. There is no place where truth is not true. Truth is operating perfectly. There is no place. There is no possibility that there can be a place where an error exists. Error simply means the wrong idea about what's there. And I see order. And the pain stops.
And the pain stops.
And the pain stops. But I had a funny incident on that. I went out one day, I'd had that healing, and then I went out and I met a sales girl in a shop, and she was really a little madam. She was a little cheeky little person. And when I walked out, I thought, oh, what a pain she was. And then God said immediately, Beth, if there can be no pain in body, there can be no pain outside body. Don't believe it anywhere. So I corrected my thought on that one too.
I love this. Hey, Beth, you know, I remember there was a famous actress who seemed to have for years and years sort of retained this very youthful look over many years. And there was a reporter who once asked her, you know, what accounts for your... For how youthful you look over the years. And she said, well, you know, I never count birthdays. And I remember that years ago and thinking of what Mrs. Eddy said about, you know, counting birthdays. But I think that there's something a little deeper going on there than, okay, well, I'm just going to ignore this.
Yep.
I'm just going to pretend, you know, la, 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 la with my fingers in my ears. So what do you think Mrs. Eddy is really saying there? Could you say more about that? Because I think this is something that a lot of us struggle with, that, okay, we're gonna live by this letter. We're not going to count our birthdays. We're going to be a good upright, you know, follower.
It's not Christian Science to do that stuff. That's not thinking. We have to make it our own. We have to understand what she's saying and what Jesus is showing to us. We've got to make it our own. It's not a mantra. And she said it for a very specific reason. Because it's totally inappropriate. I mean, I always think, how old is 2 and 2 equals 4? You'd never pin an age to it. It's a truth. How old is God? Again, you never sort of bring those material elements to God. You never give him a beginning or an ending. And yet the Bible tells us we're the image and likeness of God. A right idea is always true, always has been and always will be. These false ideas, to me, that's just a mass mesmerism age, just a mass mesmerism. It's just a general belief. We don't have to fall for it. We don't have to fall for that. Mostly because it's not true about God. The moment you give yourself an age, you separate yourself from God, from the life that is yours. And it's false, because life is eternal. And we read that over and over again in science and health and in the Bible.
Beth, you know, I think everyone listening will be so impressed by how you seem so convinced that this is the truth. And I guess let me ask it this way. How did you become so convinced, so trusting in God?
I think, as I said before, it's practicing it every day. It's really getting rid of a sense of self, that not trying to fix something in myself or increase like memory or agility or anything, but taking it back to God all the time. Does God know this? Could God do this? Is God seeing this? And I remember once going to, I had to go get some new sunglasses, and I went to the optometrist. He said, oh, we'll do an eye check. And he said, oh, he said, you've got a cataract growing. He said, it's just to be expected at this age. That sort of stuff happens as you get, you know, growing years. Hmm. And my immediate thought was, and I actually said it to him, no, I don't. And he said, oh. And what was behind that was my immediate thought that came, did God say that? No. Did God ever create cataracts? And I thought, no, God would never do that. God would never do that. And so I disbelieved it. There was never once time when I actually tried to heal it or to fix it. Hmm. I just disbelieved it. So I went to another optometrist, just came to me. If I can see the truth, they can see the truth. So I went to another optometrist, and he said, your eyes are perfect. Because not that I had the cataracts, I just didn't believe his view of me. I believe God more than anything else. If God didn't make it, it wasn't done, so I cannot reflect it.
Beth, someone listening might say, well, is that like willpower, like being in denial, you know? No, it's not, and I'm just going to go see another doctor who will tell me what I want to hear.
If it had been real, he would have found it, the second one. Willpower doesn't do anything. It can't make error more real, can't make truth more true, no matter how much we believe in it. There is a science to life. There is an order to life. We're told things all the time about ourselves, and it is our job to filter them. Did this come from God? Did God say this? No. That to me is my benchmark. Mm. Is this true of God? So I'm not trying to say, is this true of me? Mm-hmm. If God is my source, is this true of God? And no, that wasn't. That wasn't God's image. If God looks in the mirror, he sees himself. He doesn't see Beth Packer. He sees himself. So Beth Packer's job is to look out from that mirror and see God. And that is my benchmark for identifying myself. You've got to understand, people, we all see one another through our own filters. That's what it was like, actually. It was like that bloke said to me, oh, Beth, you've got a tail. I just say, no, I don't, because I'm really sure I don't, Dave. I'm really sure about that one. That's what it was like. The world tells us stuff. Our benchmark is it true of God? If it's not true of God, then don't believe it. God is my benchmark. God is my source. God is my mother, father.
Beth, I want to think about listeners who may be struggling with all sorts of things that come to listen to Sentinel Watch,
yeah,
because they find answers. And I know that there are some who feel like, well, there is something inevitable about where they have found themselves now, that that they have lived a full life, and now they're listening for these ideas to refute these claims about how they are aging or how they're getting old. And sometimes they can start to seem so sort of cumulatively overwhelming that it's hard to even imagine themselves, picture themselves as being free of whatever limitations they might feel bound by. And I'm wondering what you might be able to say to them if they're listening right now and thinking, there's, you know, I love these ideas.
Yeah.
But there's just, you know, there's an inevitability about all of this. And
There isn't an inevitability. An error never has a history. So a false belief about us or anything never has a history. It's just waiting to be solved. So start your day fresh. This is a new day. Every day is a new day. Every day has its purpose. Every day has its adventure. I find Christian Science brings such an adventure to life because it keeps showing us just truths about life that just leave Earth and its limitations for heaven. It's like looking at a flat Earth and then suddenly realizing it's actually round. It's round and it will keep turning up every day. And there is nobody has ever fallen off. They've just disappeared out of our sight. But no, but life is going on and is progressing. Find the joy in each day. Find the adventure. But more than anything, be a Christian Scientist. Find the purpose. Find the purpose. Every day has its purpose. One of the real traps of human limitation thinking, these patterns are presented to us, it's that it causes us to think entirely about ourselves, to ruminate on self. And the way to break it is to think about someone else, to pray for someone else. The world is in need of right thinkers, whether we call ourselves Christian Scientists because we understand a bit about spirituality, or whether we're just these beautiful, good, pure-hearted people, spiritually minded. The world needs us to think rightly about it. It needs us to see that there is an underlying order to life that cannot be taken from us, that you can't vote it out, you can't blow it up. It is as eternal as math. And I saw that one day, because that's what really all this conversation you and I are having is actually about. There is an order to life that cannot be taken. And that is true for us. Every day, the order that holds the stars in their place is holding us rightly. And I was sitting in an aeroplane one day and I just saw it so clearly. I mean, I love flying. And I was looking out, and it was one of those days, you might have seen it, where you're above the clouds and you're in this blue, blue sky above and there's clouds, these white, fluffy clouds as far as the eye can see. And I was looking out and I was thinking about principle. It's one of those wonderful synonyms that Mary Baker Eddy brings out about God, that brings an order to the way we think about God. And I was looking out and all of a sudden I realized from a spiritual perspective that when I was looking at all these white fluffy clouds, as far as the eye could see, was held in place by a law. There was nothing there that was happenstance. There was nothing out of place. Every single molecule, as far as the eye could see, was held in place by a law. And that was true of every beam of sunshine, every molecule of air. It was true of that great big aeroplane I was sitting in. And then I looked at the monitor at the back and there was this tropical beach scene. And I realized every palm tree was blowing because of a law, every wave, every grain of sand was in a place because a law had placed it there. And I just suddenly felt more safe than I'd ever felt in the whole of my life. But that verse from Science and Health that Mrs. Eddy gives us about you know, the multitudinous objects which before were invisible now become visible. And it felt like that. In fact, that whole quote is just beautiful. It says, as mortals gain more correct views of God and man, multitudinous objects of creation which before were invisible will become visible. When we realize that life is spirit, never in nor of matter, this understanding will expand into self-completeness, finding all in God good and needing no other consciousness. And I think to answer your question about what do people do when they feel trapped, maybe stop looking in the basket and look out into the universe of good, get a sense of the bigness of this wonderful, glorious creation that we actually live in, the order of it, the eternality of it, and the safety of it.
Beth Packer is a Christian Science practitioner from Bomaderry, New South Wales, Australia. Beth, as always, it was a real pleasure to get to chat with you on Sentinel Watch. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, David. It's been a joy to be with you.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jono Bobo. Talk again soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.